The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancher of KLMJ in Hampton and Aaron Summers of the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thank you, Senator. I wanted to ask you, first of all, about the 2020 census that's coming up. Any concerns you have about how that may play out?
Well, let's say I don't think so, because I think we've done so many censuses during our history that the only thing that I know comes up now is, do we get the participation that's necessary? I think that there is a feeling that a lot of people are reluctant, where the federal government's involved, to participate, but I think there's sophistication of and research behind how to get to people or at least account for people in a way that doesn't touch them personally, that we get a fairly accurate count. I don't remember from 10 years ago when that first, well, maybe even over 2010, I think that was concerns. And I don't see any lingering concerns that would continue to have greater concern for 2020 than 2010 or 2000. Okay, then let's go to Aaron.
Thank you, Senator. What is your take on discussions and comments from China about further limiting importing of American agricultural products, you know, as the trade or the tariff and trade situation continues?
Well, the only thing I can say is, based upon what we were led to believe after the Chinese and Americans met on the side of the Osaka group of 20 countries last of June, that China's lied. Because we were told if the United States showed good faith by letting Huawei do business with the United States suppliers and China would show good faith by buying agriculture products, we've done what we said with Huawei, and China lied about buying agricultural products. And how do you deal with a liar? Brian.
Senator, I know you and Senator Ernst have put out an opinion piece about the importance of USMCA. Where does that stand right now, and do you think you all act on that pretty soon?
Right now, there are negotiations going on between Lighthizer and three different small groups of Democrats. One group, environment, another group, labor, and the third group, enforcement. I think those negotiations are going pretty well based upon everything I've heard, plus a statement that about 2 or 3 weeks ago now was put out by a Democrat leader in the House stating two things, and this is the most concrete information we've had of when it might come up. Said it could come up in September, probably would come up in September, and even more importantly was a statement that Pelosi did not have to have a majority of the Democrat caucus to bring it up. Most speakers don't want to bring something up unless a majority of their caucus is for it. And the fact that she's willing to go ahead with a minority of the majority willing to vote for it and having most of the votes come from the Republicans is pretty positive news that it'll move forward in the House of Representatives. I believe, Aaron?
Can you talk a little bit about your position on background checks for guns? I know this has come up quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, and it sounds like I read an article that Senator McConnell might be a little more open to some sort of discussion about some sort of background checks. Yeah. What do you think that would look like? What would you support?
Well, I would say this, that I'm going to do everything I can beyond even a bill we got passed in, heavens, I believe it was 2013, Fix the NICS. The NICS is the NICS, is the database that if your name's in it because you're a felon or a domestic abuser or a person with mental illness, you can't buy a gun. That's where your gun dealer has to check to see if you can legitimately buy a gun. Mm-hmm. So I think when you consider the mental problems of some of these people that are mass shooters, that's got to be our number one responsibility, get those names in the data bank. Now, that doesn't change the background checks, but I guess until there is a bipartisan agreement on what we're going to move forward with in regard to that. And I can actually read that language. I'm not sure I want to say what I'm for, but I can say some of the things I'm not for in the way of background checks. And one would be if you were selling to a family member or a close friend. I don't think that you should have the requirement of a background check in those cases. Go back to Brian.
Senator, I wanted to get your take again about what's been going on with the EPA and the hardship waivers. Of course, they announced over the weekend that 31 more were being issued. And just give us your thoughts about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not very satisfied with it. I think that there's two things wrong with it. One, the number of waivers, the lack of transparency on the legitimacy of the waivers. In other words, is this truly a hardship? We need information on the basis of the hardship that the refinery put in. We're told that's proprietary information, shouldn't be made public. Well, some places in publicly traded companies, you can get that information from the SEC. And when we did get information, a lot of companies, small refineries connected to major oil companies were making hundreds of millions or billions of dollars of profit. Doesn't sound to me like that's very legitimate. So this is way too many waivers. And worse yet, there wouldn't be anything wrong with waivers if when we say that we're going to use 15 billion gallons of ethanol to be mixed with petroleum products, that turned out to be 15 billion gallons. But the waivers subtract from that. And we should have these reallocated. And then there wouldn't be anything wrong with the waivers. Give all the waivers you want to, that you want to. But when you do, make sure if we have 15 billion gallons, we're going to consume 15 billion gallons. The difference is probably 1 billion bushels of corn that will be not run through the refineries as a result of that. Back to Aaron.
There was some, I read and heard some news reports yesterday about a proposal coming from President Trump in the White House about changing the ability of legal immigrants getting their green cards if they are on too many, you know, getting food stamps, getting Medicare, Medicaid, health care. What's your take on those proposed changes for legal immigrants?
Well, first of all, we have had a law since the 1880s that obviously hasn't been enforced, that if you come to this country, you can't be a public charge. And more recently, we've had rules that have carried that out, but not fully enforced. So now I've been reading both television, I've been listening to television and been reading newspaper comments and discussions of this whole issue, and I don't read anything about what we're doing is basically enforcing the law. Not only the law of 1888, but the people that are sponsoring immigrants to this country sign a pledge that their incoming immigrant will not be a public charge. So as long as it's a law or people sign a pledge, wouldn't you expect people to keep their word if they aren't going to become a public charge? Or if a relative or friend says we're going to support them, we're not going to put them on the public dole. It seems to be reasonable. Now, if people don't like it, we ought to change the law. Back to Brian.
And this will have to be the last question, guys.
Okay, Senator, just want to get your take. We've asked you in the past, you've been out for town hall meetings and been around the fairs and everything. What are people concerned about talking to you right now?
Well, don't forget we had an hour-long news conference with NAIG and with former Senator Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas. She's head of an organization called Farmers for Free Trade. We had a long discussion about USMCA. We had discussions about health care issues. Now, most, except for that meeting, most of it was my answering questions for people. The gun issue came up because of the shootings in Dayton and El Paso. Health care issues. The performance of Trump, as the people that were discussing me referred to his racist comments, et cetera, et cetera. When I, in regard to that latter thing, I tried to tell one guy, when I see Martin Luther King's niece on television, and Martin Luther King was the father of the civil rights movement of the 20th century, said he's not a racist. I saw Senator Tim Scott, an African-American, on on TV recently. He said Trump's not a racist. If you got people like this saying that he's not a racist, how do they get away with calling him a racist except for political malarkey? Anyway, those are the things that were most often discussed with me as I toured the fair for 8, 9, or 10 hours. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Brian and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.